Yes, we had a worship marathon this weekend. We actually had a 24-hour worship session. And yes, we did worship for 24 hours. You probably think to yourself, man, how did you do that? We still don't know. God must have helped us. But it was wonderful, it was amazing, and God did some really, really, really amazing things. And it was truly a blessing. And I really just trust God that some of that is going to spill over into your life tonight. The Bible says, when we draw nearer unto God, He will draw nearer unto us. And we saw that happen this weekend. We saw God do amazing, amazing, amazing things in so many people's lives. It was just really wonderful. And it was truly a blessing. Tonight, I want to actually share this. God, while the worship was going, just put things in my heart that I shared with the people there. And I'm actually going to use that to speak about tonight. How many of you are excited to know God? How many of you believe that you know the fullness of God? You can't. But let me tell you something, there's a lot more to God than what you know right now. And the closer you get to God, the more you know of Him. I want to equate this to me having a spotlight, having a big light. You know, let's look at it from this point of view. Let's say I've got that light up there. Let's say one of those ones that's nice and bright, that white one there in the middle. If that was the only light that was on and it was shining down and I was sitting up there, I would be able to make out certain details. Do you agree with me? I mean, I would probably be able to see that there is a room and there are chairs and, you know, I would make out certain details. But for me to really see what is going on here, a couple of things have to happen. That light needs to come down. The closer I bring the light to that which I'm trying to understand or discern, the more detail I'm going to see, the more of the picture will be filled in for me, and the more I will understand of what I see. And you know what? There comes a time when if that light comes very close, then I begin to notice a lot of things that I could not notice before. It's exactly the same with us. When we come to God, we're all excited about God, and God is amazing, and God is wonderful, but let's be very honest. If you've just come into the kingdom of God, you actually know zero, zip, nothing. There's a lot that God needs to deal with in your life. There's a lot that God needs to do in your life, and there's a lot that you don't know about God. Now, John 8 verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Raise your hands if you would like to be set free. No, but Rian, what are you talking about? I don't have no devils. Says who? You know what? There's not a meter that's on your forehead. I've said this to people many times. There's no meter on your forehead that's like green for, you know, this one's perfect, and red for, oh, this one's got big problems, and it's spinning around if they like full of devils, you know? There's nothing like that. And let me say something about demons. Most people think they don't have demons until they come under the anointing of God. When you come under the anointing, things start happening that you never thought was possible. And sometimes things begin to scream out of you and you're like, what? Where did that come from? Oh, that was what they called temper. But it's not. It's actually an evil spirit that controls you in that area. Sometimes it's sleeplessness. Sometimes it's stress. You know, we give it nice names. Because it sounds better than to say that I got some spirit messing with me. No, I just have stress. Well, what if your stress is just a demon? Then I've got some good news for you. You can stop taking comets. Just cast the thing out. Amen? Come stand here next to me quickly. What's your name again, son? Yeah. Quentin. Come here quickly. Quentin started coming to these meetings about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I can't really remember. But he actually came and asked me something. Let me put this here so it's out of the way. He came and asked me something 2 weeks ago. You remember you spoke to me about smoking?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. The light came on. Doing. Yes. It's so long you've forgotten about it.
No.
You.
The devil tries to remind me, but
he's not succeeding. All right. You came, I think it was two weeks ago, and you said to me, he said to me that he's been trying to quit smoking for quite a while and he hasn't been able to do it. And he saw us casting demons out of people, and he said he believes that he's got a spirit in him, a devil in him, that doesn't want him to stop smoking. And I said to him, well, you're probably right, and if you do have one, it's time for it to leave. It's time for you to serve it an eviction notice. For those of you that don't know how demons work, demons are like squatters. You know, we live in the New South Africa, and so the word squatter should mean something to you. Squatters are something that comes in sometimes uninvited. And once they are there, you battle like hell to get rid of them. It's like they feel that they own the place. But if you come there with a big bulldozer, no matter what they say, they have to move. With enough power, they say you can move anything. Do you believe God has enough power to move some devil? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. So in any case, Quentin came to me and he said to me, he's got this problem. And I want you to tell them what happened when I started praying for you.
What happened is... Look, I'm going to move faster. My English is a bit broken, so we can. What happened is, I decided that I want to stop living half my life half for God. I want to go full on or not at all, because I believe there's no half measure. So what happened is, I came to him and I said, I want to be delivered from this spirit. He asked me, do you know what spirit it is? So I said, it's a spirit of idolatry or whoredom. That's the way I've learned about it, because I learned a bit about demonology and everything like that. Then he told me it's a spirit of Baal. So I said, okay, yes. So he said, okay, so it's good for this thing to go. So I said, yes, it's good. So he anointed my head with oil, and then he just started speaking to my ear. That's you see the thing with what I've experienced. When the thing comes out of you, you know what's going on, but you can't control it at all. You know exactly what's going on. So what I know, as my wife can testify, my whole body just clenched up like this. And she said that some guy had to be on this, some other guy had to be on this, and because I didn't want to open my whole body went into like a spasm, totally. And as I opened my arms, just this yelling noise came out of me. My wife and my sister also said it sounded like a lion that came out of me. Because I was growling, really, yeah. And it felt like that. And after that, as we got in the car on our way home, I told my wife she must open the window, and we broke every single cigarette. I was smoking for 13 years. Yeah. So I've been set free, totally. Definitely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Quentin. Thank you, God bless you. Eh? Come here. Stand here. You know, the Bible says when you clean the house, what happens? They come back. So you must... in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, Jesus is speaking and he says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, he goes through the barren, dry places, he seeks rest and he finds none. Then he says to himself, I will go back to the house I came from. And when he comes back, he finds it clean, swept, empty. And then he passes back in there and he takes 7 more wicked spirits than himself with him. And the end result of that person is worse than the beginning. Now, the Bible says the house is clean, swept, and empty. Does God have a problem with a clean house? No, God wants a clean house. Does God have a problem with a swept house? No, he's happy that you sweep the house. But he has a problem with an empty house. Because it's exactly the same in this country. If you leave something open for too long, squatters will come. So you must make sure that that place is not empty. Now, here's the thing. What do we fill the house with? Can you fill it with pornography? If you want more problems, yes. Can you fill it with hatred and envy and jealousy? If you want more problems, yes. But what should you fill it with? Well, the Word of God, the fruit of the Spirit, but above all, the Holy Spirit. I know that he has been filled, but I think we should just give him some vuma. What do you think? How do we receive? Well, I'm actually going to speak about that tonight. How do we receive? Well, of course, we have to receive by faith. But we receive by the Word. Many times Jesus said, go. Your sins have been forgiven. Go, it shall be as you have asked. Go, your daughter is healed. The Holy Spirit is waiting for somebody to speak the word. When God created the heavens and the earth, all he did was speak. When God speaks something, it happens. God wants people that are willing to speak it into being. So he needs to be filled. So how do we fill him? It's easy. Take it! In Jesus' name, be filled. Every cavity, every void filled in Jesus' name with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. You will not battle with temptation. You will not battle with the works of darkness. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Right now, the power of God is welling up inside of you. It is a force that you have never felt or experienced before. You will be that lion, but not the one that you felt screaming out of you. You will be that lion that roars for God. You will take back the forces of darkness and what they have stolen in people's lives. Your call, son, is to be a warrior, and you are going to be a great one in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. This week end, God put something in my heart to share with the people that was on this 24-hour worship with us. And I'm going to share that with you because, you know what, when I ministered it to them, it ministered into my heart. And God actually did something in me through that, and I want the same thing to happen for you. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Okay, let's look at that scripture. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. It's interesting because the Pharisees know and understand that there is something called the kingdom of God. And I actually want to show you a scripture. It comes from the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Listen to this quickly. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Now, for he is Jesus. He says, "For he," Jesus, "has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son whom he loves." So, the Bible says there's two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of Satan and there is the kingdom of God. And there is this invisible war going on between these two kingdoms in every single person's life. And you better get used to it because it's never going to stop until you leave this earth. Because the two kingdoms are opposing one another. The kingdom of darkness has a certain plan for your life, but the kingdom of God has a completely different plan for your life. The kingdom of darkness, what does Jesus say? John chapter 10 verse 10, "The thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy." So what does the devil want for you? Well, he wants to rob you. Rob you of what? Your peace, your joy, your happiness, your health, your sanity, finances, prosperity, your marriage. He wants to rob you of everything that is beautiful, everything that is amazing, everything that is godly. Because you see, when the devil works like that in your life, when the thief is busy robbing you to such an extent, then you don't really want to go to church, do you? No, you're like, "Don't talk to me about God. There is no God. Why is my life so pathetic? Why have I got so many problems?" Yeah, because you got the thief in your life. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the kingdom of darkness wants you to suffer. The kingdom of darkness wants bad things for your life. But there are two kingdoms. The devil would love for us to think that there's like a whole bunch of different places, but there's not. There's simply the kingdom of darkness. There's no such thing as the kingdom of Allah. There's no such thing as the kingdom of Krishna. Because they all just belong to the devil anyway. So we have dark and we have God. Darkness and the kingdom of God. All right. Now, the Bible says we have been rescued from the dominion. The word dominion means rulership, authority, power of Satan. Everybody, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, the Bible says when we came to this earth, we belong to the devil, not to God. You know, people often say, "Oh, but we are all children of God." I'm sorry, but we're not. You become a child of God Not through birth into this world, but through rebirth into the kingdom of God. And there is a big difference between the two. Some people only become born into the kingdom of God in their 30s, some in their 40s, some in their 80s. A couple of years ago, I was asked to go and pray for a man. I can't say that he was a total antichrist, but I can say that he wasn't a believer and he blasphemed God a lot. And you know, it's a sad thing that people have to come to a place in their life where they are on their deathbed before they start thinking, wow, you know what, maybe there is something to this whole thing. But praise God, even for people that get saved that way. You know, the Bible does say some will be saved like firewood grasped from the fire. You know, your backside is already beginning to feel the flames of hell when you make a decision to accept Christ. And this man was very sick. His family was very worried about him. And they asked if I could go and speak to him. And I went to speak to him. And he was a very difficult man to speak to. Very opinionated, very headstrong, very stubborn. But you know what? God went with me that day and we spoke. And I'll never forget, he had a problem with his hand. He couldn't close his hand. He had lots of arthritis and a whole bunch of stuff. I can't even remember everything. And I don't even know what was wrong with him. But I went and I prayed with him that day. I spoke to him and he challenged me on a couple of things. And we went this way and that way. And eventually I thought, wow, God, you must help me. Yeah, you know, this is a really difficult, stubborn man. And then I looked at his hand and I said, you know, don't you want me to pray for that? He said, well, if you want to, you can. And I don't think he expected anything to happen. But God had other plans. And I prayed for his hand, and something started happening in his hand. The power of God touched his hand. And I believe that was just the grace and the mercy of God, because God knew this man was going to die. And God wanted that man to have another opportunity. And as I was praying for him, his hand began to move, and his hand closed. And he could actually take objects, and he could pick them up, and he could take a cup of coffee and he could drink it. And he died 3 days later. But because of what happened, he came to a place that he was willing to make right with God. He was willing to, one of his biggest problems, and I want you to listen to this, was unforgiveness. He had a lot of unforgiveness towards people and he was bitter. He was bitter about his life. He was bitter about his situation. He was bitter about so many things. And because of what God did for him there, he accepted Christ. And he could move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And even though he passed away knowing God. And we bless God for that. Now, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. So in other words, the Bible says that when we get saved, we get a new spiritual home. Where before your home was the kingdom of darkness, now your home is the kingdom of God. And you have to know that and you have to understand that, because I want you to listen to me very carefully. Where your home is determines what your rights are. You know, if you are born in certain countries, every country that you are born in gives you a birthright. Like, one of the things that comes to mind is when you are born in a country, you have a ID book, you have a passport, and you can vote. If you are not a citizen, you cannot vote. In some countries, if you are a citizen, your medical aid is for free. You know, you go to the doctor there. I think maybe in Portugal it's like that. I'm not sure. But I know in some countries, because of your birthright, you can go to the doctor and you don't really pay. Or you pay a minimal fee. In some countries, it used to be like that in this country, and then, I don't know, something went wrong and the wheels fell off. But we used to go to school for free. That was the old South Africa. We're going to keep quiet about the new South Africa because I don't want to depress you right now. You know, we'll leave that. But the birthright that we had gave us that opportunity. It afforded us that opportunity. Now, you see, here's the thing. In the kingdom of darkness, Satan, because of where you are spiritually, wants to give you certain rights and privileges. What is your rights and privileges? Well, he wants you to be sick. He wants you to be angry. He wants you to be bitter. He wants you to be full of nonsense. He wants you to be into hoarder, prostitution and lust and pornography and drinking too much and partying too much. He wants the spirit of this world to just embrace you. And he wants you to get up to mischief and get up to all sorts of stuff to give him more power to destroy your life. But God has a different plan for you. The fact of the matter is, you can't understand what God's plan is for you as long as you are stuck in darkness. Please close your eyes. What do you see? Nothing. That's the problem when you are stuck in the kingdom of darkness. You can't see nothing. You need to come into the light for you to begin to see. There are a lot of people stuck in darkness right now that have an amazing destiny, but they will never know what that destiny is until they get saved. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, which the Bible also calls the kingdom of light, when you switch on the light, everything looks different. You know, sometimes we walk around in our house, we don't switch on the lights because we don't want to wake another person, or, you know, we just don't want to switch on the lights. And you think you know where everything is, but you see that's where little Johnny left his car, toy car on the floor that night. You don't know that it's there because you can't see. So you're on your way to the toilet trying not to make any noise. And guess what? You step on that car and it goes whoop under you. And you end up waking the whole house and half breaking your back. The problem was you couldn't see. Simple things. There's a lot of things people try and achieve in life. Raise your hands if you want to live a good life, if you want to live a prosperous life. You see, the thing is, in order for you to live a good life and a prosperous life, you've got to get with the program and begin to walk the road that God has planned and destined for you. Because if you are on the wrong path, you are on the path that leads to destruction. The book of Proverbs chapter 12, 14, verse 12 says, "There is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death." I'm going to say that again. There is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. What we see and what God sees is two different things. You know, sometimes people come to us with an opportunity, oh, you can make a lot of money. Well, because you want money, you think to yourself, wow, what a blessing. Man, God has really sent me something amazing. No, God never sent nothing. Because what you see and what God sees is two different things. And you need to get to the place where you begin to walk the road that God wants you to walk, because then you are going to begin to be blessed. You need to come into the light to be able to see. And when you come into the light, the closer you get to the light, the more you see. You see, I want to go back to that light up there. If that light is up there and I have, let's say, a newspaper lying here on the floor, I'm up there. The newspaper's down here. That newspaper, or let's say something typed, is going to give me instructions that could change my life radically, drastically, and forever. As long as I'm up there, I can see there's a piece of paper. I can see there's some writing on it, but I can't discern what it says. I have to come closer for me to see what that is. And in a way, that's how our lives are. Just because you got saved and you start to walk a road with God, there's a lot of stuff that you still don't know. You have to draw closer to God. You have to learn. The Word of God has to speak into you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In other words, as the Word of God enters you, a process starts by itself, by divine ordinance, that you start breaking free, which allows you to start going forward. We all have a past, don't we? Some of us, our pasts are quite dark, quite dingy, quite sinister. And sometimes those things hold us back. Sometimes those things stop us from going forward. And they need to be dealt with. And in order for them to be dealt with, the Word of God has to enter us. God has to speak into our hearts. Because then the process starts of me breaking free. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation." Now, let me tell you something about the Pharisees. The Pharisees understood the power of God because they had been told, remember, they were teachers of the law. They spoke about Moses parting the seas. They spoke about God stopping the sun. They spoke about God helping the Israelites to destroy great and powerful nations that otherwise they shouldn't be able to destroy. They spoke about amazing miracles. They spoke about the Egyptian army dying when God released his hand from the waters and the waters closed up. They taught people about the 10 plagues that brought Egypt, the most powerful fighting nation on the face of this earth at that stage, to its knees. They understood the power of the kingdom of God. And they wanted the kingdom of God to be made manifest again. You must understand, before Jesus came, it had been 400 years with no miracles. Do you understand? There was a spiritual drought. The Israelites, who were used to being God's chosen people, they were used to having signs and wonders and miracles. They were used to being supernaturally fed in the desert, etc., etc. God doing amazing things. God hadn't touched them for a long time. So they were like, oh, wow, we're waiting for the kingdom of God. When is it going to come? And then Jesus said something to them. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come through your careful observation. The Pharisees were a bunch of idiots. There's no better way to put it. And I'll tell you why. Because if you take a look at when they asked this question, it was in the book of Luke chapter 17. This was pretty much, let's say, 2 years into Jesus' earthly ministry. For 2 years, he has been opening the blind eyes. He has been allowing the mute to speak. He has been turning water into wine. He has been walking on water. He has been doing signs, wonders, and miracles of epic proportions. The Gadarene demoniac was running around everywhere telling people about Jesus because he wasn't mad anymore. All of these things had happened. God had come, and through his grace and through his mercy, he had done miracle upon miracle upon miracle, but the Pharisees still couldn't see what was staring them right in the face. That's what happens when you don't have the light. When you don't have light, you can have amazing things right around you. I want to make this personal. I want to say to you that you can have the greatest breakthrough ever imaginable in your life right in front of you. But because you can't see it, you'll take one step to the left and you'll miss it. The Pharisees were blind. Spiritually, they were blind. They couldn't see nothing. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus, the ambassador of the kingdom of God, the one that could allow them to enter the kingdom of God, boom, like that. But they were too blind to see it. Because what they were expecting was something different. And they were not open to who Jesus was. So they asked Jesus this question. We want the kingdom of God. We want the power of God to come down again. They were thinking back. They wanted what Moses had. They wanted something likened to Elijah and Elisha. They wanted something like that. They did not want this new Jesus. Little did they know that Jesus could give them all of that and more if they just accepted him as the Son of God. But one thing that they had, even in their stupidity that a lot of people in the world today don't have, they had a longing to have the kingdom of God and experience it. Do you hear what I'm saying? They had that longing. They wanted to know how, when. And then Jesus gives them an answer. Listen to the answer. The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. The Pharisees wanted to feel the power of God. They wanted to see the power of God. They wanted to experience the power of God. And Jesus says to them, listen to me very carefully. Your problem is you are a bunch of observers. And until you don't become participants, you will never see the kingdom of God. Because you see, listen to what Jesus says. For the kingdom of God is within you. Look at your neighbor and say, I got good news for you. Okay, now the other one is feeling rejected. Turn around and face the other one. Say, I got good news for you too. Right. What is the good news? Say to them, the kingdom of God is within you. There's a couple of women here thinking to themselves, man, pastor, you've lost it. No, yeah, the kingdom of God is in your husband. Yeah. Amen. Oh, it might be very deeply buried and we might battle a bit to get it out, but I'm telling you now, it's there. Hello? Come on. The kingdom of God is within you. How scary is that? The same anointing, the same power, the same calling, that everything that allowed Moses to stretch out his staff and separate the waters, it's in you. What allowed Jesus to walk on the water is in you. That allowed Moses to speak to the staff and it become a snake is in you. What allowed Jesus to heal the sick, it's in you. The kingdom of God is a supernatural place. Please say that word with me, supernatural. What does supernatural mean? Well, it's not normal. So if you call me crazy, you bless me because I don't want to be normal. Hello? Yeah, you know that crazy pastor. Yeah, that's me. Proud of it. Why do I want to be normal? For what? The kingdom of God is within me. In the kingdom of God, you walk on water. You call that normal? No, I don't. In the kingdom of God, you walk past people, your shadow falls on them, they get healed. I don't want to be normal. In the kingdom of God, you speak one word and things begin to happen. I don't want to be normal. Call me crazy all you want. Every time you do, you bless me. Every time you do, you confirm the fact that God is at work in my life. The Pharisees had a problem with Jesus. They thought he was crazy. But he wasn't. He was the Son of God. Hello? Jesus was the Son of God. The kingdom of God is a supernatural place where sickness, infirmity, disease, and destruction have to bow before the name of Jesus Christ. Whether they like it or not. Where do you want to live your life? Me, I want to live it in the kingdom of God. That's the best place for me. That's why I was put on this earth, to find that kingdom and to live in that kingdom, to grow in that kingdom, to become strong in that kingdom. And listen to me carefully, that kingdom is in me and it's in you. But it's like that light. If that light is way up there and something is written on this floor, you will be able to see that something is written on the floor, but you won't be able to say what it is. It might be telling you to turn right, but because you can't read it, you turn left. What we need is more of God. The more there is of God, the more there is of God's anointing, the more there is of God's power, His grace, His mercy, His love. You call it what you want, but the closer we are to Him and the more there is of Him in me, the more there is of Christ in me and in you, the more the kingdom that's in me comes out of me. I want to ask you a question. What if locked up inside of you is the ability to heal the sick? What if within you is the ability to open the Word of God and teach people and like the scales just fall off their eyes and they're like, wow. What if in you is the ability to be the best father in the last 50 generations of your family bloodline? What if what is in you is to be a politician one day and to lead this country out of the desert and into Canaan? Would you like that? For sure. But you're never going to know what it is until you come into the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is within you. And the more we spend time with God and the more we allow God to work in our lives, the more the kingdom starts coming out. The kingdom starts coming out. And we begin to see things differently. We begin to understand things differently. Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation." Here's the problem with the church today. The church today is like the Pharisees. We want to observe, but we don't want to participate. It's somebody else's problem. Somebody else must do it. It's the pastor's job. It's the cell group leader's job. As the missionaries up there, I'll give my $20 or my 15 rand or my whatever, and they must just go and make a plan with it. No. God says the kingdom of God doesn't come until you begin to participate. When the Spirit of God begins to move, You better be willing to participate, because spectators get nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Spectators get nothing. You get the ability to say to somebody at work on Monday, oh, you know, I saw something very interesting. The Pharisees saw it all the time, but their hearts were still not changed because they weren't willing to participate. I can tell you now, the Pharisees, by large, never asked Jesus to pray for them once because they felt they were always right. In fact, they looked down on him. Who's this oak? He's a carpenter. What can he teach me? Shows you how hypocritical they were. Can I tell you why? Because they went everywhere he went. But according to them, they knew everything. Jesus once said to them, you brood of vipers, you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, but you don't enter in yourself and you don't allow others to enter. Can I tell you what he was talking about? The knowledge of the kingdom, the word of God. They had the word of God, but they never took the time to discern what it meant. When a Pharisee opens his mouth, he teaches you history. History is doomed to repeat itself, they say, so they don't change your life. Today it's the same thing. There's a lot of people standing on pulpits, but because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit, because they have never begun to seek the kingdom of God, they are teaching people history. And people leave that place just as empty as they were when they walked in. Nothing changes for them. Nothing ever happens for them. They still feel empty. They still feel lost. They still feel useless. They still feel worthless, but they should be changed. But until they don't experience the kingdom of God, they cannot. Because only the kingdom of God can change your life. Do you understand? Now, I want to read you from the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 42 and on. Interesting scripture. Luke chapter 8, verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, go. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Okay. I know that you've all heard this story. You've probably read it 50 times. But I hope that tonight I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. First thing that I want you to notice is that it starts off by saying, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. In other words, at that specific moment when that one person got healed and only person got healed, there were multitudes of people all around Jesus. I can't tell you how many people there were, but there were crowds. How many people do you need to have crowds, plural? 100, 200, 300? I don't know. But let's just say for argument's sake, there were 300 people around Jesus. Please take into account that he is the healer. Please take into account that he is the deliverer. And please take into account that the word about him spread quickly throughout all the regions of Galilee, the Bible says. In fact, when Jesus went into the little town called Capernaum, and he performed the first miracle. I'm not talking about turning water into wine. He walked into that church and a demon popped. He was speaking the word of God and a demon popped, and he cast the demon out. And the people said, "Ooh, what is this? A new teaching, and with authority, he even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him." Jesus went into, actually, let me show you that. If I can find it quickly. If I can't, then I'll just tell you. But let's go to the book of Mark chapter 1. Okay, verse 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Okay. That's that. Then, look at this. In the book of Mark chapter 2. No. That evening, after sunset, verse 32, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and all the demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. Did you hear that? Jesus performed a miracle, and by that evening, in the morning he was in a synagogue casting out some demon, and that person's life was completely changed. And by that evening, the Bible says, the whole village was waiting at the door. So, how many people in a village? I don't know. 100, 200, 300. All I'm trying to give you is, I'm trying to give you an idea that a lot of people followed Jesus wherever he went because of what happened when he touched people, what happened when he prayed for people. Amen? Amen. So now, here's the scene. There's a lot of people all around and everybody wants to get close to him. Everybody wants to touch him. In fact, it is so bad that the Bible says, listen to this. As Jesus went on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. In other words, there were so many people trying to get close to Jesus that the Bible tells us that at one stage his life was actually in danger. They were going to crush him because everybody from everywhere was trying to press through to get close to him. Ah. But nothing happened for nobody except one person. You see, there was this one woman that came there. And she didn't just come to see. She came with a mission. She had a problem and she needed the healer. All the other people were there to see what's happening. Well, maybe something happens for me, maybe something doesn't, but at least I'm here. You see, the others were just like the Pharisees. They were there to observe because you know what? It was nice to follow Jesus because there was action. You know, when we were at school, we used to go like, action, action, we want action, A-C-T-I-O-N. And people are like that today. You give them action and they're like, there, wow. You remember when we were at school and like some two oaks start fighting and everybody screams, Barney, Barney, there goes the whole school, action. People are still the same. Jesus moved, things happened, demons came out, they wanted to see, but they couldn't be bothered to change. They just wanted to see what was going on. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? The kingdom of God does not come through your observation. And you see, the thing is, there was 300 people there. And all of them in some way touched him. They had to touch him because he nearly got crushed. But no miracle happened for any of them except one. What made her different? She was seeking the kingdom. The others, they were just there to see what was going on. They needed a nice story to talk about Monday at work. It's like, ooh, the oaks are never going to believe what I just saw now. You know. But that woman came with a mission. She wanted to meet the healer. She wanted to meet the miracle worker. She wanted to meet the Son of God. And then something very interesting happens. In the midst of all of these people touching him, everybody rubbing up against him, him having to fight his way through these crowds, suddenly he stops. And he says, somebody touched me. And of course, Peter looks at him like he's crazy, like, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you. Half the village has touched you. Ah, no. But somebody touched me because I felt power come out of me. That woman was drawing the power out of him because of her attitude. Because her attitude was different from the rest. She came expecting. She came looking. Doesn't the Bible say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you, which includes healing. She was seeking the kingdom. And she didn't want to just observe. She wanted to be part of the kingdom. She was trusting God that the kingdom of God would come in her life. Now, let's ask the question. Is it God's heart for the kingdom of God to come in your life? Well, number one, we already seen that the kingdom of God is within you. You don't have to go to some funny place to find the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God can manifest while you are alone in a room somewhere, because it's within you. You just have to get to the place that you allow what's inside to start coming out. Amen? Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Who knows the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Oh, who taught that prayer? Jesus. Why? Because he knows what's inside of you and he knows it must come out. You know what? If you could see what is inside of you, you would fall on your back. And God wants what's inside to come outside. And he wants you to work towards that. In fact, we are commanded to pray as often as we can. Your kingdom come. Now you see, here's the problem. When you're praying stuff like your kingdom come, you don't realize why you're praying it. You have no faith in what you are praying. But you are really praying for yourself when you pray your kingdom come. Because you are asking God for what is inside to come outside. You know that there are things called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, as each one has received the gift, minister therefore one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There are gifts inside everybody, but until the kingdom comes in your life, you won't know what it is. You know, a lot of people come to me at meetings, oh, Rion, how do I know what my gift is? I can't tell you, but seek the kingdom and you will find it. It's when you seek the kingdom that these things begin to happen. But you see, I don't want to upset you or anything like that, but we've become a very spoiled generation. We want quick fixes for everything. If this oak just touches me, everything's going to be different. Hey, if that one speaks a word, and you know what? Today, everybody runs after prophets. Like, oh, if this one prophesies over me, my life is going to just be different. Uh-uh. Forget about it. You must seek the kingdom. Because the kingdom is within you. This woman came with an expectation. Yes, we can call it faith. But I also want to call it an expectation. She came with an expectation that she was going to experience the kingdom of God. She believed that Jesus could allow her to experience what Moses experienced. He could allow her to experience what Elisha and Elijah and the great prophets experienced. She understood that the kingdom of God was real. And unlike the Pharisees who walked with Jesus every day but never understood that he was the key to the kingdom, she figured that out. So when she touched him with an expectation. Her heart was ready to receive. Her heart was open for the kingdom to come. And like that, boom, the kingdom of God came. She was instantly healed. You know, the anointing is transferable. Did you know that? I mean, you've probably read this in the Bible, but there was a guy in Elijah's time that was killed by robbers. And they took him and they threw him in a tomb. And it happened to be Elijah's tomb. And Elijah was dead. The Bible says there was only bones, but when his dead body touched the bones, doink, he sat up and he was alive. How long must you be dead before you are just bones? Like 50 years or 100 years? Let's make it 50 years. After 50 years, Elijah's bones were still anointed. The anointing is transferable, but that doesn't mean something is going to happen because Jesus wasn't dead. He was the Messiah. He was the healer. And crowds of people touched him and nothing happened. But when somebody touched him with the right heart, boom, it happened. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this so that you understand why a lot of people never receive nothing. You will go from meeting to meeting to meeting. The biggest evangelists, Reinhard Bonnke, Billy Graham, who knows, can lay hands on you and pray for you. You won't get nothing because of your heart and your attitude. The Bible says there were places where Jesus could do no miracles because the people's hearts weren't right. They had no faith. They had no expectation. They didn't want the kingdom of God to come. They couldn't be bothered. Oh, you, carpenter, oh, you can't do nothing for me. I want to say to you tonight that God has something for you. But don't look to me because I can't give it to you. The kingdom is inside you. I can't give you something that God hasn't already given you. It's inside you. Locked up inside of you is what the Bible calls a treasure. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But you must come to a place that you begin to have an expectation. You know what? When you are in a place where the anointing is, I've seen this many times. The anointing is there. Things are happening for people. And then like some people come and say, oh, well, you know what? If I get something, I get it. If I don't, I don't. Go home. You're wasting your time. In fact, you're wasting everybody's time because we can go home earlier if you duck now. Amen? Amen. But it's true. Because you have to come with that expectation. Your heart must be open for the kingdom of God to come. And let's just touch on this. Then people come forward. Did I already mention that the kingdom of God is a supernatural place? And that means that when it manifests, supernatural things will happen. Now, here's what people do when they come forward. You know, like they've already... Let's set the scene. The first guy I pray for, or the first guy I touch, some demon comes screaming out of them. Wah! Okay, praise God, the demon is gone. But suddenly the next five people in that row, ooh, I'm fine. You know, I'm okay. You know what, I just remembered I left the TV on, you know. Why are you like that? It's like we got this problem with, we're supposed to be perfect. No, Jesus comes into your life to make you perfect, not because you are. As if it's like some bad thing that you got some devil in your life. You could have inherited it from your grandfather. You never know where these things come from in any case. Bloodline curses are real, whether you like it or not. That's why I always say to people, don't judge somebody when something happens. You don't know why it's there. You know, one of the things that opens us up for a lot of demons is disappointment. When somebody really disappoints you, sometimes it opens you up for that spirit to grab you, or shock and trauma. It's not like the person did something. It's what was done to them that caused it. When a young girl gets molested, it opens her up for nonsense. She wasn't looking for it. Some idiot came and messed with her. It's not our place to judge. But God doesn't want them to walk around with that thing giving them a hard time. He wants to set people free. Jesus' words, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. And unfortunately, we have become a society where everybody is supposed to be perfect. Listen to me carefully. Nobody's going to be perfect until we go to heaven. That includes me, you, all of us. But we can reach as much perfection as possible if we allow God to work. Amen? If we allow God to work. So I want to say this to you. Whether it's at this meeting or any other place that you go to, don't you ever just very blasé like, oh, okay, let's see what will happen. Because the people that were crowding around Jesus, that was their attitude and they got nothing. And if they got nothing, you will get nothing because God is not into double standards. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. But if you can come, every time you come forward, come with an expectation and bring your request to God. Don't tell me that you got nothing that you need because everybody needs something. Everybody needs something. And when the anointing is there and the power of God is available, use it. That's why God gave it. Amen? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I am here with an expectation tonight. I'm expecting God to do something supernatural. I'm expecting God, the Spirit of God, to move, the wind of God to blow. When you have a ship on the ocean, and we're talking in the old days with sails, when the wind begins to blow, it alters the direction of the ship. It alters the position of the ship. Tonight when the wind blows, make sure that your sails are up. Make sure that you're ready to go to some new place in your life. Because sometimes when that wind begins to blow, God takes you out of the pit and into a new place where your life will never, ever, ever be the same again. And you know what? I don't want to be funny, but tonight is probably that night for you, for more than one of you, possibly for all of you. But you have to have an expectation. You have to come before God. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when you come to God, you must believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 6, verse 11. 11, verse 6, sorry. Listen to that. Compare what I just read with this woman. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah, even though the Pharisees questioned everything He did. She didn't care. You know what? Sometimes our intellect is our biggest stumbling block. The Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. How old is your boy? He's about 3 years old. Just, you're a big, strong man. Just lift him up quickly so that they can see him. One, two, three. Hup. Oh, there we go. Do you see that little boy? What's his name?
Zayn.
Yeah. You see little Zayn there? He's got more of a chance of experiencing the kingdom of God than any of you. And I'll tell you why. Because his intellect doesn't get involved and he doesn't reason everything away. If his father tells him something, it's like, okay, fine. Thank you, Dad. When you reach your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, somebody tells you something, yeah, but what about this and what about that? No, I don't see it that way. That's why you're stuck. When the Bible says it, you better believe it, like Zayn does when his daddy tells him something. Zayn probably believes his dad is the strongest oak in the world. And it's immaterial whether Quentin is strong or not. No, Zayn says he is, like, because he believes it. My dad is up there. He is the strongest oak in the world. Amen. Amen. And you know what? He teaches me in his word that for him nothing is impossible. You know, a lot of people will argue ad infinitum that this can't happen and that can't happen and that can't happen. Go read your Bible unless you become as a little child. This woman, when she came to Jesus, she had childlike faith. She had an expectation. Because you see, she knew He healed this one, He healed that one, He healed that one. He did this miracle, He did that miracle. He went to a wedding and He turned the water into wine. She knew all of these things and that was enough for her. She didn't want proof. She already believed based on what she had received. The problem that we have today is everybody wants some proof. Like, oh, yeah, but this can't be that way and that can't be this way. And if God gives me a sign, oh, please, man, just drop that. That doesn't please God. And then the Bible says, when you come to God, you must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In other words, how's this for amazing? Just because you are here tonight, not because of your past, not because of the good things that you've done, not because of the thousands of dollars or whatever that you gave to some ministry or church or whatever, just because you are here tonight seeking God, God wants to bless you. Oh, but Rian, that's impossible. Now give the Lord a big hand because it is. Hello. It's Sunday night. The Mnet premiere is on. But you chose not to watch it. You chose to come to church. That means that you come to seek God, doesn't it? That means that God says, now I want to reward you for seeking me. Do you have a need tonight? You better talk to God about it because He wants to meet it. Do you have a need tonight? Well, you better talk to God because He wants to meet it. Listen to me very carefully. Tonight is a night of reward because God wants to reward us. Did anybody learn something tonight? Yeah. Oh, give the Lord a big hand, please.